Welcome to Grace Baptist Church. Our weekly messages being brought for the sake of God's people and praying that there will be those that may listen whom God will call inwardly to Himself. Today we're going to be looking at the race being set before us. The race being set before us. I'm going to be dealing with selected verses today from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12. I'm going to be reading all the verses translated in a literal manner. I find that so profitable for my own soul, and I pray that it will be as profitable for you today. This may prove to well be similar to reading from the Amplified Bible for many of you. With that in mind, let's go to the text, the book of Hebrews. After having testified of numerous Old Testament saints as to their journeys of faith while on this earth, the letter to the Hebrews reads as follows in Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to be dealing with verses 1 through 4, verse by verse. Again, I'm reading from a literal translation, may vary a bit from whatever translation you are looking at now, and I know most of you, I believe, look to the King James Version. As I always say, you may just want to listen. I'm not going to tell you not to try to follow, but it could be a bit confusing with me reading from the literal text. We begin with Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, having considered all these saints that went before them who were faithful to the Lord God, therefore, we also, having such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Now, can I make that we and us, you and I? Therefore, we today also have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. In this life, today, we continually have the witness of the faithful Old Testament saints, as we see there in Hebrews chapter 11, who went before us. They have been here and done that. That being true, what do we do? Having laid aside every weight and the easily entangling sin. I know that's true in every Christian's life. The easily entangling sin. Well, folks, this speaks of us having laid aside every weight. Now, I want to deal with that. Having laid aside something we have already done. Having laid aside. We've already done that, and it has a result now. Not let us lay aside, as most of the translations put it. Folks, I'm just telling you, that's not the better translation. Having laid aside is literally what it says. Not let us lay aside as if we have not yet done so. You see, we need to be prepared. We need to be made ready beforehand, having laid aside every weight and the easily entangling sins. Then the words immediately following explain why that is absolutely necessary. What I just said will make more sense when we see what is written just following it. We should run with endurance, perseverance, the race being set before us. Now, the race here is a, well, it's referring to, speaking of, a contest which is primarily spiritual, but does involve the flesh, which we must defeat. In this race, we must defeat the flesh, that sin that indwells us, even kill it every single day. That is the race that we are in, a contest against that flesh and against the sin practiced against us by others. We're going to deal with that as we move on here. Now, this is obviously, folks, an endurance race, not a sprint. The race is on an obstacle course, full of dangers, toils, and snares, as the hymn writer so ably put it. Folks, we cannot be weighed down by sin on this long, long race. This is a race having a course being placed before us by God. We're all, if we're true Christians, involved in a race that has a course, a race course, being set before us by God. Again, an obstacle course that is straight and narrow, hemmed in, having many obstacles within it. God is continually setting this course before us, providing for us the way we should run. Folks, we'd be completely lost if that were not the truth. This is God's providence, His providence. Only those who endure to the end of this race course shall be saved. The Bible is clear on that. You must finish the race to receive the crown of life. And that is what is involved here, the crown of eternal life together with Christ. Now, I want to read the entire first verse of chapter 12 in the book of Hebrews. Again, literally, therefore, we also, having such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, having laid aside every weight and the easy entangling sin, we should run with endurance the race being set before us, looking to the founder and finisher of faith, Jesus, who in view of the joy being set before him, endured a cross, having despised shame, and sat down at a right hand of the throne of the God. Folks, there's only one God, manifested in three persons, the God, the one true God. This race set before us, has one focus, folks. One focus, looking to Jesus. That's what this race should be focused upon, looking to Jesus. The word looking there in that text, the word looking here means to consider attentively, to gaze upon, a fixed gaze upon, give your full attention to. That's what it means by looking to Jesus. Isaiah, this is very interesting. But it's the truth. Isaiah speaks to Jesus as led by the Holy Spirit of Christ. And he wrote it down. Isaiah 26:3. Now listen, this is literal as well. You, Lord Jesus, you will keep in perfect peace a mind stayed, fixed, because he trusts in you. That mind is focused, is stayed, is fixed upon looking to Jesus, because we trust in him. We, with a fixed gaze of our mind's eye, look unto Jesus, trusting in him. Folks, give attention. Brothers and sisters, give your full attention to the founder and finisher of faith. Now, I know your Bibles say the author. Again, listen to this as far as Christ being the founder and finisher of faith. The word our before faith in your text is not there. It's not in the original text. Christ is the origin and the end of faith, folks. Faith. All true faith. Faith has its... Now listen to this. I believe this to be true with all of my heart. Never looked at it like this. Why is there faith? Faith has its existence. Faith has its existence to justify God's elect. That's why there is faith. To justify God's elect. The book of Habakkuk makes that clear. The just shall live by faith. Faith has its existence to justify God's elect. It begins with what Christ said in John 14:1. You believe in God? Folks, we need to believe in God. Christ says, believe also in me. Faith begins right there. It ends, and I'm going to discuss what this word ends means more as we move on, so please be listening. It ends with Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Our faith in Christ, our faith in Christ's death on the cross for our sins, imputes his righteousness to us. We are justified by faith. What did Christ say on the cross just before he gave up his human spirit? It is finished. When it comes to faith, Christ is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. We set, we fix our faith on Christ. And we continue to fix our focus, attention on Jesus with the obedience of faith. That same obedience of faith that Paul mentions in his letter to the Romans. We run this race by faith. We run the race by faith and faith's obedience. Our faith, remember I said I was going to comment more on the word end. Our faith begins with Christ and finds its completion in Christ. Faith does not end and go away, but finds its resting place in Christ, its completion in Christ. That's what we speak of when we speak of ends. It does not go away, but it finds its resting place in Christ. This Christ we worship and speak of had a race set before him by the Father that was riddled with obstacles that caused him much sorrow and grief. Folks, we follow that path in a similar way as his people. He was despised and rejected. He suffered for a countless number of sins. He suffered for a countless number of sins, but never committed any sin. In word, in thought, or deed, he knew no sin. But I want us to look at Christ's perspective of an obstacle on his course in his humanity, that obstacle, a cross. A cross. Jesus, who in view of the joy being set before him, endured a cross. Having despised shame, and sat down at a right hand of the throne of the God. You know what shame is here, folks? It's disgrace. It's disgrace. He despised shame. He despised disgrace. A shame, a disgrace that was brought about by the sin that he bore. Sin is a disgrace. Though he despised that disgrace, his focus, now listen, this is going to help you and me. His focus was on the joy his Father was setting before him. Christ was trusting it would lead him to a place at God's right hand on God's throne. Now, what do you and I have to do with such a thing? It is this Jesus that you and I must set our gaze upon as we bear the cross of denying ourselves daily. He has promised, Christ has promised the same joy the Father set before him to us. Revelations 3:21, Revelations. I don't know if I've ever done that before. I just did it. Revelation. I've always made a point of, it's not revelations, it's revelation. Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 3, verse 21. The one overcoming, now speaking of overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil, folks. That's what you're worrying against. The world around you, surrounding you, the flesh that you carry about every day, and the devil. That's what you have to overcome. Those overcoming, the one overcoming, says Christ, I will give him to sit with me on my throne. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Do you remember that verse, folks? Well, you need to from now on, because the joy set before him is the same joy set before you and I. To sit with Christ on his throne. Now view it. View it this way. Or I don't know if this is exactly the way it'll be, but view it this way. I mean, take a look at this. We cast our crowns of life before him, and then we go sit with him on his throne. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I'm thinking that might be the way it works out. We cast our crowns of life before him as he sits on his throne, and then we go sit with him on that throne. Brothers and sisters, that is the throne of his glory. The throne of his glory. The brightness of his excellence. No sin. Perfect peace eternally. We will be there with him. We will endure this race if our true focus is Jesus And our greatest desire is to be with him and to be like him for all eternity. Now we need to stop right there. I need to stop right there. Do you and I have that level of interest in Christ? Is Jesus our all in all? Now moving on to the third verse, Hebrews chapter 12. For consider the one having endured such great hostility from sinners against himself, so that you shall not grow weary in your souls, and again literally, going limp. You know, just giving this thing up. I just can't go any further in this race. I'm just going limp. We see from the four gospel accounts the numerous instances of great hostility against the Lord Jesus while he was here on earth. There were many attempts to defame him, and he was blasphemed regularly by the religious crowd. After a number of encounters with death, he was arrested. They spit on him, brutally beat him, and nailed him to a cross where he died. Let's not forget as well, during his lifetime, Christ was confronted with the author of sin, Satan, who hounded Christ, especially when he began his earthly preaching ministry, which led to the cross. With his example of such great endurance, under such horrendous attacks, we must heed the Apostle Peter and the admonition that he gives in his first letter, because he would also have to follow in the race set before him. So must we. 1 Peter 1:13. Listen up now. This again speaks about us preparing for it. Therefore, having girded up, and that means preparing, having girded up the loins of your mind. The loins there speaks of the midsection, which is the source of our strength physically. That's where you get, you know, when you drive a ball with a baseball or you hit a golf ball, your power comes from your hip area. So gird up the loins of your mind. Figurative language, being fully sober-minded. You must be clear-minded. You must be purposed. Set hope upon the grace being brought to you. Set your expectation upon the grace being brought to you. The enablement. Grace is enablement. And it's being brought to you, now listen, in a revelation of Jesus Christ. How in the world is that being brought to us, this revelation of Jesus Christ, which is going to strengthen us? As the Holy Spirit of Christ reveals more and more of Christ to you. You know, you have the Holy Spirit of Christ indwelling you, teaching you. You are being enabled to be strong and to endure in the race being set before you. Folks, you and I are not going to make it in our own strength. Ain't going to happen. There are those, I fear, who are playing some game, working in and of their own flesh. They're not going to make it. They're not going to make it. On that same note, I want you to listen what is said in verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, lift up, and the word lift up there means strengthen. Strengthen the drooping hands and the enfeebled knees. Again, figurative language. And that is a figurative way of combating the weariness we encounter in the race being set before us by the Lord. And folks, it's a wearisome race. You know what I'm talking about. I know about me, there have been times when, goodness gracious, I want to give this thing up. But thanks be to God, when I am not faithful, He is faithful. And He holds me up. Lord God, thank You. He, God, is setting before us the race course and providing the strength to endure to the end. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. You see, we strengthen the hands that hang down and the enfeebled knees by fixing our mind's eye on Jesus. That's the simple answer. I know it's an extremely difficult thing, but by the help of the Holy Spirit, God saves His elect. As it says in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power, the strength of His might. And we're going to close today with verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 12, excuse me. And we need to be very careful to listen to what this verse is actually saying. I haven't really looked at it closely, because God put this particular message on my heart. He caused me to look at one word, which really opens up this verse. That last verse we deal with, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. You have not yet resisted unto blood, struggling against the sin. In the race course set before you and I today, most of us will not have to shed our own blood or even die due to the sinning to those sinning against us. I believe that's probably true. Over a long period of time now, we've not seen a great deal of the shedding of blood against those who would come after us to harm us physically or even to kill us. Yes, we must struggle with the fact that others sin against us and may bring disgrace upon us wrongfully. But that struggle has not yet led to our blood being shed, as was probably the case for some of those who would later even die for Christ's sake at the time this letter was written to them. Brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'm put a big exclamation point after that. I'm addressing you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, listen. We may not yet have resisted unto blood, but our race is not yet finished. Look at this world today. Who in the world knows what might happen? And no matter what or who we encounter on this race course, our mind's eye must be fixed upon Jesus, the founder and finisher of faith. This is the only way. This is the only way. The scripture just showed us that. The only way that we will be able to say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Amen.